Well, we're still going to be talking about sanctification. It's an important subject in the Bible. And these are things, you know, I listened this week to Mike's teachings and stuff, and he was emphasizing really as over in the areas of love and walking in love, and which was really good. I thought Mike did a great job in teaching things he was talking about. And keeping ourselves focused, because there's just today there's so much to lead people off the focus of truth. Really we're dealing with the areas. The average person, I would say, like say Christians, the average Christian, the things they need to understand and know are not the things that they study or they spend any time with. I learned this when I got born again. I found out this was very sort of a strange thing, because the first thing God dealt with me when I got born again from a study standpoint, He dealt with me about my personal life and my relationship with my family. You see, you need to understand this. The Bible teaches, if you ever read it in the New Testament, you ain't even supposed to be in the ministry if your family life ain't right. You ain't even supposed to be in the ministry. Loads of people in the ministry today should never even be in the ministry. Their families are messes. Their children are rebellious and there's every damn thing going on. They shouldn't even be in the ministry. But see, we don't go by that today. We have all of our standards that we set. We wonder why the Bible doesn't work and Christianity doesn't have power. It can't have power because God don't give babies handguns. Babies will kill themselves with them. God don't give power to people who are babies. They'll misuse it and abuse it. So He doesn't do that. We need to understand, God started dealing with me about my relationship with my family and getting those things straight. But I realized it wasn't just about ministry. It's about living a good life. See, many Christians will live and die without a good life. They'll live and die. They'll go through a lot of family problems they would never have had to go through if they would have taken time, the scriptures, to learn what they really needed. You know, like most people, when I first came into the kingdom, you know, a lot of people, everybody was jumping on board. Let's get money. Well, I'm going to tell you, love of money ends up to be, the Bible says, is the root of all evil. See, you take a baby Christian and you throw money out in the front, you know what it'll end up happening to him? He'll end up loving money. Because he doesn't have withal to understand, and he'll end up just keep chasing after money and chasing after money. That ain't the first thing you want to learn on the subject. You might need money, which money is fine, but I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things about life you need to learn, and one of the things is about character of life. God started teaching me about character of life, becoming a person of my word. See, no person is a person of faith who doesn't keep their word. They're not. To walk and live by faith, you have to be a person of your word. That's one of the things of being a person of faith. Jesus told us about what faith was. Faith had to do with your confession and what you're saying. Well, see, if you're saying things and then not keeping your word, your faith is no good. And you know, faith is not just something you talk. The words that you say, you're supposed to believe in them and act upon them. That's what you are. That's what you do. See, and many people talk about, yeah, you know, I believe in Jesus. And they don't no more believe in Jesus than a man in the moon. Their life is lived out with, they ignore Jesus all the time. They're constant, ignorant. Jesus ain't even a part of their life. And they'll say, I believe. Well, that's just off the top of their head. People know how to say religious things. Anything that you have developed in or know that you do that you spend time with, you have spent time working at. You know, just like, you know, you're on a job and your job that you work at, you've been there a long period of time, you know that job and you do that job, it is based upon the times you spent there working at that thing and you know it. You know, the first day you did the job, you know, you might have said you knew something, but now after all these years you sit and look and say, man, when I first started here I didn't know nothing to what I know now. Why? Because it took time to do. It took time to learn. Most people never spend any time learning to live life. They don't learn how to live life. They don't enjoy life. They worry about things all the time. They're going through all this stuff. All this stuff goes on. It's because what is necessary to make a good life, people spend no time with. We're moved too much by fads. The newest fad. The newest book. Christianity, the newest book out. You know, I am so sick of the next book. I can't tell you the last time I bought a book. You know, I read the Bible. Because I get tired of, oh, I got this great revelation. And next year, that book isn't even ever remembered and nobody don't even know what it is. And we got a new one out and everybody's trying to find something new. I'm still trying to live right. I don't know about you. I'm still over here. I still had to practice the same things I always practiced. You know, you go back over. You know, if we would take a sports team, they do the same thing. When a sports team, you know, they come out, they, you know, after their season's over, they take a break for a while, but they don't take breaks for real long times. They start practicing back again. Do you know what they do when they come back and practice? The same old things that they practiced before. See, we always want something new. If you want something new, you know, I always like these people, God's going to do something new. It might be new to you, but it ain't new to Him. Most people don't need a new thing. What they need to do is to learn to live some of the old stuff. They need to learn to live out things and practice things, especially till you get good at them. You know, there's some things I've been working out a long time and I still ain't got great at it. You gotta go back over, keep working at it to do it. And you learn over time to do it. And this is one of the things as we're dealing in the areas with sanctification here. We talk about living right, doing the right things. This is what sanctification is about. We're living a sanctified or a separated life. We're separated from something, but we're also separated to something. See, God didn't separate man from sin through Jesus Christ. That's what everybody believes. We got our sins forgiven. Well, I'm sorry. Israel had forgiveness of sin. If that's all Jesus did, He should just stay in heaven, left this thing alone. But see, this is the great weakness of Christianity, because Christianity bases itself. Forgiveness of sin is everything. Forgiveness of sin is part of salvation. But you gotta have, there's gotta be more than just forgiveness of sin. If that's all I got was forgiveness of sin, I'm in trouble. See, we need power to live. Christianity is about power. It's about power. But we have today a powerless Christianity. It's not based on power. It's based on we're trying to get through. We're trying to hold on. I'm not trying to get through and I'm not trying to hold on. You know, I'm not trying to hold on to God. The Bible tells me I'm in Christ and Christ is in God. Sounds like I'm pretty well protected. I'm not trying to hold on to nothing. Sounds like He got a pretty good hold on me. He's got a pretty good hold on you. But see, if you live like you're trying to hold on to this thing, you're living in unbelief. You're not living according to the Word. You know, I remember as a kid in church, as a kid growing up, they used to have what they called testimony meetings. And they were actually a gripe session. You got up and told, you know, the devil just ran over me this week and pray for me that I might be true to the end. I'll tell you, I'm going to be true to the end. I'll tell you, I'll pray for you. Don't pray for me to be true. I'm going to be true to the end. I've already set myself on a course. You know, pray for me that I might make it. Don't worry, you have to pray for me that I might make it. God is working. The good work that He started in me, He's bringing it to completion. That's what the Bible says. But see, people would get up and do that. I remember as a kid in church, one of the big reasons I never accepted Jesus Christ as a kid, because I thought the people that they called the saints in the church, they couldn't make it. How was I going to make it? They don't know if they can stay true to this. They don't know if they can make it. What chance do I have? So you listen to all this unbelief Christianity. Christianity is full of unbelief teaching. When I found out the truth about things, man, the truth will make you free. I thought, my God, I'm not trying to hang on to this thing. I'm not trying. Hallelujah. God provided a salvation that's full and complete, and I can live in it. Hallelujah. I can walk in this thing. I can do it. But I had to find out about it Because what was happening? I grew up in churches, like I said. I was in more church services than all of you ever put together probably in 2 or 3 years. I was in 2 or 3 years probably in more church services. I was full of church services. I went to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of church services every year. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Every year. The church denomination I was in, they had revivals in the winter time, and during the whole winter time, every night. Every night you were in church. Every night. People today can't even make it on a Sunday. It's too much. We want a move of God, and everybody stay home and fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to take place. See, it's one thing as I learn about revival. When revival hits, people go to church a lot. If you don't like going to church a lot, you're never going to have revival. You're not going to have that. Because revival is a focus on God. It ain't focus on you. It's a focus on God. Hallelujah. I've been in some revivals in my life. I've been in some things and moves of God. Just blew the socks on, blows your little mind. God moves and you think, my God, in spite of us and all of our stupidity, He shows up, makes us all look dumb, does the most glorious things, I'll tell you what, sensational. But we're living, and I want you to get a hold of this. I'm not saying these things as criticism. I'm saying that we need to change the way we think. We need to change the way we think about stuff. As we think about God, we're coming down on the end of time. We're living in a world out here. I'm saved and I'm secure. I'm not trying to hold on. You need to get this. You've been set apart by God and you've been set apart from sin, but you've been set apart to Him. You're His. You belong to Him. You know you're a possession of God. So you're not an old piece of dirt. You're a possession of God. Did you ever think about that? See, people don't think about what they really are. You know, the things that you hold dear to you, they're precious to you. You treat them. You know, you have certain valuables and things. You'd never think of letting them lay out in the yard, would you? The average Christian doesn't even have any comprehension. I'm talking about good Christians have no comprehension of their preciousness to God. They basically think God can take it or take you or leave you. They don't understand. Nobody ever did what God did for something that He wanted. And that's the salvation of man. You know, you've heard me talk about this. The Bible talks about creation, God creating. It talks about God creating the stars. He said He put the stars out there with His fingers. You know, God in our earth and creation, He spoke it into existence. He just said words. The Bible says this about our redemption. It was the arm of the Lord. The most power was ever used was to redeem humanity. God, the treasure that God wanted the most of anything was the salvation of man. That's what He wanted the most. That's what He dedicated the most power to. How powerful do you think salvation is? What is in this thing that God would use more power than anything else to get a possession He wanted? Why do you think He treasures it? What does He think about this thing? See, when the church's mind is this small, forgiveness is sin. Like God forgave you, and then you hear then the people preaching, I hear preaching and saying, and they say things and we sing songs about the blood, and they sing about, like, you know, God looks at us through the blood and all this kind of stuff, which is just totally unscriptural. God don't have to look at me through blood. He doesn't have to look at me through blood because I'm so distasteful to Him that He can't look at me face to face. You'll never find anybody ever called up to heaven and God walked around and had a blood screen in front of Him and Jesus couldn't look at people and say, you don't ever have any of that. When Jesus appears to people, He looks at them face to face. You know, Kenneth Hagin tells a story how he got caught up to heaven. The Lord told him about Samaria, said he didn't do what God told him to do. He fell down on his feet and he said, Lord, I'm so unworthy. And Jesus got mad and told him to stand up on your feet. He said, stand up on your feet. He said, I made you worthy. He wouldn't let him talk that way. You see, when people have faith problems, it's because they don't know who or what they are. That's the faith problem. See, he blew it, but he still had the right to stand in the face of Jesus. And Jesus didn't want him whining and wallowing around down there saying, oh, I'm unworthy. You see, what we're separated from and what we're separated to, we need to know. Because man needs to be able to stand in the face of God. We live to the measure of the knowledge that we think we have of God. That's what we live to. Our faith is measured by that. That's how far we go. When it comes to healing and things like that, that's why many Christians have such difficulties in the areas of healing. Because they're mostly think natural about it. They're thinking, you know, about healing. They don't see themselves in their value to God. They don't see that, you know, what God did for them so they could be well, you know. I'm trying to convince God to heal me, you know, and I'm confessing 487,000 times, and I'm just doing this and I'm doing that, and I'm making all these confessions and I'm doing all this stuff. It's all works. It's all works. It's producing nothing. You know, isn't it funny? I could get born again, which involves the most power that God has ever done toward humanity. The most power. And I only had to confess Jesus as Lord one time. And I got it. I didn't have to go back. I don't have to confess every year thousands of times that confess Jesus as Lord so I could be saved. Didn't have to do none of that. The greatest power God ever used was so man could be born again. And if a person believes in their heart, and confesses Jesus Christ, believes that He's Lord, God raised Him from the dead, that person will be saved. They don't have to make a million confessions. They don't have to do anything. It'll just happen. I don't know of anyone. The night I received Christ, I did it. I was 30 years old. It was in January 1980. And I was a chair in a living room at 102, down in Lebanon at the Canal Street. I was down there and I just kneeled down at the sofa, Canal Street, and I just confessed Jesus as Lord. Now, I had done nothing good. I had done nothing. I hadn't done a thing. All I did is in my heart, I just decided I was going to accept Christ. And I got born again that night. I didn't have to make 1,500 confessions. I didn't have to go through any kind of rituals. I didn't have to go through none of that stuff. Nothing. I don't understand how the church goes from salvation to nothing but works to try to get anything after that. We're laboring and working and laboring and working, trying to believe. I didn't try to believe that night. You either believe or you don't. You cannot try to believe. It can't happen. It's an impossibility to try to believe. You either do or you don't. When you're trying, this is what you're saying. I don't believe it yet. That's what you're saying. There's no such thing as people say, well, I'm trying to believe. No, you're not. You either believe it or you don't. You can't try to believe. There's no such, how can you try to believe? I wonder how you do that. I've learned with myself. I just believe something or I don't believe it. I might need more information, but if I get the right... Look, faith is based on information. That's what it is. It's just, that's it. If you're trying to believe, this is what you know. You can't believe because you don't have enough information. Or you don't believe the information you have. That's simple. Wow, this is really easy. This is like first grade. But... the church hasn't even come to first grade. The church is generally still in K-3. We have all this religious stuff trying to get people to believe. I have never, you know, I've always just understood. I either believed something or I didn't believe it. That's just it. I always knew. I've had people come to me and say, you know, would you pray for me? I don't know that if I'm believing or not. I'd say, well, you're not. You can't... You'd know if you were believing it. God, wake up! People get in their minds, get so flaky and so crazy. I mean, you can't tell them that. Because then they get all upset, and you're a mean person because you told me the truth. You told me I'm an idiot, and I am. But you're not allowed to tell me because that hurts my feelings. Tell me I'm all right when I'm always an idiot. there. Sometimes I've sit down and talk to God and say, God, how do you put up with me? I do sometimes the dumbest thing. I think, why didn't you reach out of heaven and slap me on the head and say, wake up, space cadet? You know, it's like, I just went through something just so dumb. And I think, how could I have done that so stupid? How could I have been so dumb about that? You know, I just admit it. You know, I like these people. They just don't want anybody to tell them that they messed up. Well, get over yourself and your sin. Because it's what it is. Selfishness, self-centered. You know, tell me I'm all right when I'm not. No, I want to know if I'm not. Tell me. My words. I want to know. Why? Because I want to be able to believe God. God separated me to Him. I need to find out how good God is. Now, Mike did a lot of talking about the goodness of God. God is good. Sanctification is about the goodness of God. You will never live a sanctified life, a life separated from sin. You can't live away from sin if you don't know what God has done for you and who and what you are, what He's made you. You can't live. You will live, like Mike, he made the quotes and said, you know, things I said, you're going to live to the standard that you believe you are. That's what you're going to live. You know, let's put it like this. You've heard me teach on healing a lot. You know, when I came and got the revelation, the big thing that changed my life in the areas of healing is when the revelation came to me that by His stripes I was healed. When I got that revelation I never tried to get healed again. I always just received my healing. I am healed. Say, well, my body's still carrying on. I don't care. The Word says I'm healed. So I am healed. So I receive. See, that's the truth. I receive that. That's just true. I am healed. I am. By His stripes. In other words, I'm not trying to ask God for something He don't want to do. He's already done it. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, the Scripture says, has already been given to us. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. See, God's already healed you. You're already healed. Now, most people will act on the fact that they're not. They're going to try to get healed. They're going to try to get, you're trying to get God to do something. But see, that's not faith because it's not the Bible. That's religious thinking. Well, see, sanctification is the same thing. Sanctification deals what God has done for me through the new birth, separated me from sin and what it does, what He has made me. What am I? Is finding out the truth about what I am. When you find out about the truth of what you are, you will find it is easy to live to the standards you believe you are. It's very hard to live to a standard you don't. See, I always see this with people in healing. I found it was very easy for me because when I got the revelation that I was healed, oh man, that changed everything. I'm never again trying to get God to heal me. It would never be God's fault. I'm not trying to. See, if God has not already given you healing, you could not believe you receive it. How could you believe you receive something for Him He has not given you? This is why most people don't get healed. They're trying to get God to heal them. That's not biblical. There's no faith in that. What they're doing is they're waiting for God's approval to heal them. I'm sorry, that was already given. Mark 11:24, what you desire when you pray, believe you receive it. You couldn't believe you receive something He hasn't given. If He hasn't already given you healing, you couldn't believe you receive it. It's just a simple thing. What you could, if I told you I would do something for you, therefore you could believe, you could come and ask me to do that for you because I said I would. But if I haven't told you that I would do a certain thing for you, you have no place to believe that I would do it for you. See, faith is a very simple thing, but we've complicated it through man's thinking. How man thinks. See, I know God wants me well because 2,000 years ago, Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sickness. He's not going to do it today. He's already done that. He's already confirmed. Now just think about this. Every sinner out here, he took their infirmities and bore their sicknesses. He took the sin of every person. That's why we're supposed to preach. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, we're supposed to preach and tell people God's not holding sin against them. That's exactly what the church does the opposite of. You got to come. You got to get Jesus to forgive you of your sin. Biggest lie they ever told a sinner. Yet that's the popular teaching. Most evangelists preach it. Most evangelists, and if you told them they're preaching a false gospel, they'd want to throw you out. They don't want to. Oh no, we're preaching the truth. God is not an enemy of the sinner. God in Christ Jesus became a friend of the sinner. If that sinner will call on the name of Jesus, he can be saved just like that. Why? Because God, he don't have to come and ask God to forgive him his sin, you know. It'd be good for him to come and confess him. He has to come to the spot that he knows he needs salvation. See, the Holy Spirit, he convinces the world of sin. Or he convicts them of sin. In other words, they come to the knowledge they need a Savior. That's why we preach a gospel today that is, oh, God just loves you. And nobody ever comes to the knowledge they know they need saved. They don't even know they need a Savior. God just loves everybody. Hell is full of all the people in hell God loved. But they're in hell. Hell's full of people. Lost for eternity. Damned for eternity. They're in hell. Some of them are in hell. They went to churches. They went to churches and they said they believed in Jesus. Do you know what? If you don't get, the only people that are in heaven who die are the ones who are born again. I don't care if a person, they say, well, I prayed a prayer. If that prayer was not done from their heart and caused them to get born again, they are not in heaven. We've got many. Many, many, many people have died and left this earth. Many went to churches, believed things. I am not saved because of what I believed. I'm saved because of what I received. To as many as receive Him, to them He gave the power to become a son of God. Huge difference. Born again. A changed life. There is no such thing as being a child of God without a changed life. People who love the world are going to die with the world. Jesus said you can't love the world and love Him. I wonder if He is right. Not today He's not. Oh, they'll tell you, yeah, you can just, yeah, I made a confession. I did a little prayer thing, you know, and so I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay. I don't have nothing to do with God or care for God. I won't have anything to do with Him. But I just did the thing. I signed the Christian, you know, insurance policy. Yeah, I did that. And that's so I got my fire insurance now. So I'm good. I'm good. I'll be all right. Don't worry about me. And the preachers are saying yes and amen. See, there is a new birth. That's one of the things is dealing with the areas of sanctification. We talked the last time I was here, we're talking about the new birth when in the book of John, the third chapter, the gospel of John, the third chapter, when Jesus and Nicodemus were having a conversation. And what Jesus said this, He said the words in John, the third chapter in verse 5. This is what Jesus Christ said. Now this is one thing, I always go with Jesus, you know. Jesus made this statement. He said, I never say anything the Father didn't say. And I don't do anything the Father don't do. That was His confession while He was in the earth. He said that. Now, Jesus made this statement. Well, in John 3, chapter verse 3, He said, unless one, the last part of the verse, well, first of all, He said, most assuredly I say to you, most assuredly. And if we took those Greek words that were used there, most assuredly. King James says, verily, verily. Those words are we words like that we used in a court of law when they used to do the thing, people used to swear on the Bible. Remember when the Bible meant something? And they lay their hand on it and say, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? It'd be in a similar fashion as what's being said. In other words, I'm telling you the truth. This is what the truth is. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He didn't say, unless one gets their sins forgiven. Did he? That's what we preach today. You got to get your sins forgiven. The sin forgiven ain't the issue. You receive Christ, you receive the forgiveness of sin. It's all about receiving Christ and being born again. One must be born again. We talked about the last time, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. There's about a birth that has to take place. We went and used the scriptures, and I'm not going to go back to them, but we used the scriptures in the Old Testament about the priesthood. See, it's one thing as God has me emphasizing in this area because the church has emphasized kingship all the time, has emphasized kingship. We haven't emphasized priesthood. We're priests of God. What is the priest of God? See, if you go back to the Old Testament, the king and the priest were two different things. The king could not go in and handle the stuff of the priesthood. The king isn't the guy who stood before God for the people. He ain't the guy that did that. See, we do the thing is, we are so over in the authority area, which is good. You need to understand authority, but you need to know your position in the presence of God. Your prayer life and everything counts on it. It's one thing to have many Christians know that they have authority to ask God, but in the presence of God, they don't know who they are in the priesthood, and they feel ashamed in the presence of God, and they always stand in His presence with doubt, and when they pray, they only remember where they made their mistakes and their things, and when it comes down to it, their conscience isn't good before God. They don't see themselves in the priesthood. They don't see what God has done in separating them to Himself. Separating them from their sin. They don't see themselves. So they come to God. They don't have really confidence in His presence. Scripture says that John wrote and said, this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. If I remember how many times I have read Christian books about how you try to get God to hear you. God hearing you is about confidence. You either believe He does or He don't. Very simple saying. This is the confidence we have that if I ask anything according to His will, I know if the Bible says it, it's mine. I know when I talk to Him about it, He's a listening. Why? I just believe the Word. See, I'm not sitting there trying to get Him to do something. I'm not trying a thing. I just believe that those words are true. Those words are true. So why I have confidence? This is about, and we need to understand, this is about the priesthood. This is about you're separated from sin and you are separated to God. You're supposed to be in His presence. You represent yourself, but you even represent others in His presence. Just like the priests in the Old Testament, they were the representatives of the people before God. They were the only group that were allowed to do that. They were the only ones that could take the sacrifices and the offerings. See, if you understand this, the position of the church, we'd get out of this wine and Christianity and understand that the mess that this nation's in because the church has been a sewer, like Washington. The church is filled with people who have no clue who they are, no idea. They just wander around playing their little Christian games and don't understand. They're God's representative as His face. And if they don't stand before God, there ain't nobody to stand before God. In the old covenant, that's why He said, God, there's judgment to be brought. And God said, He couldn't find a man to stand in the gap. He's looking for somebody to become a representative of the people. Nobody would. That's America today. The church isn't representing the nation before God. They need patted on the back all the time themselves. They can't uphold things because they themselves can't hold nothing for themselves. Why? They aren't taught the truth. They aren't taught who they are. Oh, we're just old sinners saved by grace. I was an old sinner. I am not a sinner. I'm a child of God today. I'm a priest and a king of God. That's what the Bible says. I'm not an old sinner trying to get by. If you're an old sinner, you're going to hell. All sinners will be in hell. What I was is not what I am. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What I am in the presence of God. Hallelujah. With confidence, whatever His Word says, I can take it to Him and I talk to Him about it. He hears me. Glory to God. God has an ear to His people, the ones who are separated to Him. Hallelujah. Now, won't that change you as an individual if you know that? Wouldn't it change how you your religious perspective about things? I don't need to call the latest prayer chain for God to hear me. I don't have to get minister so-and-so to come and pray. God is waiting to hear from me. Woo-hoo-hoo! God is waiting to respond for me. I think I'll pray for somebody else. No, we're just trying to get everybody to pray for me. Try to get me through. Hallelujah! I don't know about you, these things are good news. Now, unless ones are born of water and the Spirit, they can't see. We talk about the water and the Spirit. What's that talking about? It's talking about the Word and the Holy Spirit. The water of the Word, Jesus said, and Jesus talked about that. And we have read it. Jesus made sense to His disciples. In John 17, verse 17, He said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. We are sanctified by truth. See, faith came by hearing the word. You got born again. You had to first hear the word. Have faith in the word. You were clean by the water of the word. John, in Ephesians 5:26 says, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the Word. Speaking of the church. That's what Paul was writing. Speaking of the church. Titus wrote and said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. See, there's the two working together. I want you to understand this is the importance of it. Because the church world has had a problem over the years. They either get on one side of a fence of something or on the other side of the fence on it. And they haven't learned to walk with two things together. And his number one is the Word and the Spirit. Now, Smith Wigglesworth, Mike had brought up a number of things about Smith Wigglesworth. One of the things that Smith Wigglesworth prophesied and said before he went home to be with Jesus at the end of the 40s, before he left, he said there's a move of the Spirit coming in the last days and it's going to be a move of the Word and the Spirit. The two together. That's what God's been trying to do. People either do one or the other. They get so tied on the Word where they become religious, or they get so tied on the Spirit and don't pay attention to the Word, they get flaky. That's where you get the granola Christians, nuts and flakes. And on this side, you get the legalists, you get the Pharisees. And the two never can meet. It is the Word and the Spirit. It's number one. You cannot get born again just by the Word. You need it's the work of the Holy Spirit. But you need the Word. One of the things that Jesus told Kenneth Hagin in a vision concerning the end times of how you stay in the end times because the things that are going to happen. He said that some of His people were going to leave. They aren't going to like the move of the Spirit. And they're not going to be ready to meet Him when He comes. They're going to turn back. He said they're going to turn back. We're having Christians turning back. They don't want the things of the Spirit. Like in the group that I came out of, you know, and was in a ministerial group, they're leaving the things of the Spirit and they're getting over just, we're preaching. They preach stuff of faith, but they don't want to have demonstrations of the Spirit in their church. See, we got what we call seeker friendly. We don't want anybody to think that we're weird. Get over it, I'm weird. Get over it. I yield to things that you cannot see or not. We want manifestations of the Spirit. God wants to manifest His Word. The Word without manifestation is dead. It's dead Word. We want manifestation. Preaching healing without having healing is dead. It's worthless. Preaching things and not having it is worthless. See, what would it have been good if I'd have believed the Word of God concerning salvation and it wouldn't have produced it? What good was it? What value is it? Now see, people get what is preached. Now, I was an alcoholic and into drugs and stuff when I got saved. Now, I didn't have to wait years to get delivered. Now today you do. Today you go to churches, you go even to what they call spirit-filled churches, and you'll have to go through programs to get delivered. You have to go through programs. But the reason it is because they don't preach the truth. You see, I was fortunate, I was really fortunate that I got hooked up with the right ministry when it started off. Kenneth Hagin preached deliverance, and I heard it, and I believed that if I got saved, I would get delivered. And the only reason I could believe that, because it was preached to me. We would never tell an alcoholic, we wouldn't have the guts to tell him, you accept Jesus, you'll get delivered from your alcoholism. Oh no, we wouldn't say that. He'll forgive you of your sin. Because you know, I don't want him to think, get out there, what if this don't work? Oh yeah, oh yeah, that's what it is. We don't want to get out there very far. We don't want to go. I was told I was going to get delivered. And you know what happened? I got delivered. I got born again and got delivered. I didn't have to go through the 12-step program to believe in a higher power. I done accepted the higher power. He lived in me. Amen. I didn't have to try to believe in a higher power somewhere. What a bunch of flaky junk. No, I received the higher power. He moved in, ain't left since. In fact, right after that, he filled me with that higher power. Hallelujah! Then I got really crazy. I spoke in tongues. My God. No, he's really going out there. I'll tell you what. But see, it's what is preached. Today we preached a watery gospel that produces very little. We're afraid if we say things, what if it don't work? Well, people can only believe what information's given. Most people don't know enough about the Bible to tell people very much about salvation. They don't know enough about it. And the average person, the average Christian just believes in getting your sins forgiven. That's it. We don't believe in that. You're delivered from sin. You're delivered from the power of darkness. See, I was told I was going to be delivered from darkness. See, I never thought alcoholism was some kind of light. I never thought it was a disease. And it ain't. There's no such thing as a disease, alcoholism. It's demonic is what it is. And I don't care. You can give all the medication you want to the demonically depressed person. The devil don't care. He don't leave because we give him drugs. You might cause the body to get suppressed where it can't do anything and you're half unconscious. But that devil's still inside. As soon as you wake up, he gets acting out again. That's what he does. Devils are not, they don't care how much medication. They still act like devils. And you see, I needed delivery. I needed delivered from darkness. I was in darkness. I was living in darkness. So I needed deliverance. That's what God gave me because a gospel was preached to me that God would deliver me. That's how I had faith in it. I wasn't special. See, some people think, why God specially did something? No, they heard something preached to them. They didn't hear the sloppy gospel that 90% of Christians hear. That does nothing for you. That many people never even get born again through it. I sat in churches as a kid and heard more people while we're preaching the gospel. And I tried, never got saved. I prayed prayers, but never got saved because it wasn't in line with the Word. I lived 30 years as a sinner because the church could not lead me to Christ. And some guy comes and told me how simple it was. I'll never forget this. I'll never forget. Because my mom and dad sit under this religious junk. And I forget. I was a kid in a church. So we went to visit this church. We went to visit a church. It was outside of our denomination things. And they went to visit this church. And I'll never forget. There was a minister. And he called people forward. He had called people for salvation. And he had them pray the sinner's prayer. And I'll never forget this. My mom, I'm sitting beside my mom. I'm a little kid. Sit beside my mom. And she's watching. Well, I can't do that. That ain't going to work. Well, I bet you every one of them got saved. But she didn't see. They had their religious routines. This is the stuff is how you do it. And this is what you got on their beliefs. But their beliefs weren't the Bible. They don't realize their son lived 30 years of hell because of their beliefs. My parents weren't bad people. They wanted to do right. But you know what? My parents got born again. But you know what? I don't think they really understood how. I'm serious. I don't think they could understand. I mean, they'd follow God, love Jesus and that stuff. And I knew that they were born again. But you know what? Because they had all this other stuff they had tied on to their Christianity. And they had all this stuff. And these are all the things that make you so, you know, this thing works. And it was all just a bunch of rigmarole that didn't do nothing. Why? Salvation was too simple. God couldn't like you that much. Really? It's too easy. It's too simple. You know what? That's why most Christians don't get healed. It's too easy. It's too simple. They're always in their minds thinking about everything else, got 10,000 other things going on, trying to do something. And the simplicity of it is, believe you receive it and you have it. Then you talk like you got it. Say, oh man. But see, we live by feelings, we live by what we see, we live by all those things. We listen to what people are saying, well, doing this. I'll never forget, you know, listening one time in a minister, big name minister, if I mention his name, every one of you know who it was. He said one time, well, him about getting healed, he said, after I confessed, he made this statement, like he did 400 and some times, he had an exact number, when I confessed it that many times, then I got healed. I thought, oh dear Lord, God help that poor stupid man. But he's a big name, brings in money by the hundreds of millions, and is dumb as a stick. And people just chase after and follow and give money. And he couldn't have got healed of it. When you reach a certain number, the Lord, I talk to the Lord about it. See, you know, there's some things that I don't know, maybe I'm curious about. I want to know, because I hear preachers say things, and I read the Bible, and if I'm having a hard time with it, I'll ask God. And I've learned to do this, is when I'm having an encounter with God. See, I was having an encounter with God back in 2014 when God came and visited me. I didn't visit Him. I was just being, you know, what I knew, Christian, and praying and doing stuff. And the Lord, all of a sudden, I had a number of sort of supernatural visitations. And the Lord spoke to me one very clear. He was talking to me, began to talk to me about finances, and I've told you guys about that. One of the things in talking about that, I asked the Lord questions. See, I want to know because I hear preachers say things. And I said to the Lord, I said, they talk about giving, and you give money, and then they'll say, you know, that God will have you need to give, you know, and you know, like again or again. And what they do is they make this idea that you have to reach to a certain point of giving, and then you'll get this certain point of giving. So I talked to the Lord point blank about that. I was asking about that. I said, these guys talk this stuff. I said, and the Lord said, yeah, He said they've learned to do those things, He said, for their own benefit. He said to get money out of people. And He told me He hates them for it. Because He told me this. See, one thing that God, you need to understand this. What God loves is faith. Where you trust Him just because of what He said to you. He told you what He said, you just believe it. He loves that. Faith is what pleases God. You believe what He said. People work at trying to make God happy. Just believe the Word's true. He's happy. He likes it. You want to make Him happy today? Just believe the Bible. He's happy. He gets so happy that if you ask Him anything about that word according to His will, He'll do it for you. That's how happy He gets. But anyhow, so I ask Him about this. What about this? You have to come up to a certain amount of giving and this, that. I said to Him, I said, well, if I want to get $1 million, how much do I have to get $1 million back? Because these guys teach, hey, they teach this stuff from Copeland and all those guys. They teach this stuff. I've heard them talk it. They can't go and hide. Say they didn't. I asked the Lord about it. And the Lord said, if there's a certain amount you have to give to get a certain amount, He said you could not give till you know what the amount is because you couldn't give it by faith. You would have to know how much it is to believe. You don't get money by giving money. You get money by faith. I give because of what I believe. I don't give to get. I give because of what I believe. Do you understand what I'm saying, the difference? See, there's a total difference in this thing. Most people are giving to get something. That isn't what faith is. Faith believes it has. I receive money by believing I receive it. And I give because that's my nature. I love, so I give. It is my nature to give. I've told you folks this. I was in a minister's meeting, and it was all these ministers, hundreds of ministers there. And the speaker got up and he said, I don't give money to get money. He said, I get my money, he said, by faith. By my confession of faith, I believe I received something. Well, you could have heard a pin drop in the place. Because every one of those, I didn't do it, but I felt like I wanted to. I wanted to stand on my chair and shout and jump. Loads of those guys in that meeting are big leaders. See, everybody today follows the big boys. That's why we have such a messed up Christianity. Loads of these big boys don't know near what you think. But we've listened to their gospel for so long, we believe it's Bible. No, you believe God for money. You give because it says give. That's your nature. You're a child of God. It is your nature to give because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. It's your nature to give. See, I cannot imagine me not giving. Can't imagine myself not giving. Just can't imagine it. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. It's my nature. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm not a sinner. I'm not trying to keep stuff. I give. Why? Because God takes care of me. He said He would. Is He really doing it? You know, I'll never forget the revelation. I was only born again a few months. And I got the revelation of God's looking after my family. You know, because we had an incident. 19-year-old boy died in a Christian family, but he wasn't born again. He went to hell. He's in a Christian family. He's 19. You don't go to heaven because your mom and daddy follow Jesus. That don't matter at all. You can end up in hell. Kenneth Hagin, 16 years old, died and went to hell. Praise God, he got out of there. He went to, didn't matter if his mama was a Christian or whoever was a Christian. It didn't matter. See, we need to understand that. We don't understand this stuff today. We have all this flaky, you know, Christianity today. We don't tell our kids. Don't tell them the truth. But anyhow, dealing with this, you know, thing, this kid died. And that really just troubled me. I just thought, this to me, this just was heart-rending. I thought, here you are a parent. Your child dies. You're a Christian. You're never going to see them again. They're lost for eternity. They're in the place of the damned. I don't know about you. That troubles me. Today, people are very little troubled. I'm going to tell you, there's a hell, folks. I know for a fact. There's a hell. And people are going there. And I tell you, that troubled me terrible. And I got over, and I was talking to the Lord about this. I'll never forget. I was there at 321 Canal Street. I'm upstairs there in the bedroom and I'm walking back and forth in there. And I mean, this thing is aching at me. This thing was just aching at me. I was a young Christian. I thought, man. And I said this just out loud. I made this out loud to God. I just said, Lord, I don't know if I'd want to go to heaven. Because understand, at this time, Wanda had not accepted Christ. And we had two kids. And I'm walking back and forth. I said, Lord, I don't know if I'd want to go to heaven if my family went to hell. I was totally 100% sincere. I can understand how Paul felt. Paul said he'd rather be lost than have his nations. But I'll tell you what, inside of me, there was just an ache in me. It's like, man, I'd rather see my family get saved and me end up in hell than have my family end up in hell. Because I thought, man. You're seeing this happen. His family saw this happen. And that's when the Lord spoke to me and told me the psalm and went over and read where he said to me, it was like an audible voice spoke. I know the voice probably wasn't audible to others if they were in the room would have heard it. But to me it seemed audible, spoke to me. And I went over and read the psalm and says, you know, that man who fears the Lord who walks in his way, he said it. His wife will be as a fruitful vine by his house and his children as olive plants around his table. And I remember I sat there and I read that. He told me to go and I read that. And I'll never forget reading that. After I read it, that same voice spoke and said, if you will do what I tell you to do, I will guarantee you your family. If you do. You see, this is one of the things. Many times people waste their time just praying all the time for their kids and for people all the time. The number one thing that you can do is you live for God. God will bless other people because you walk right. My family. See, I found out my brothers and sisters. 2 years later, the Lord spoke to me again, a supernatural way, spoke to me. I'm praying about other stuff. And the Lord just spoke to me just as clear. But He said this, because you've done what I've told you to do, I'm going to bring all your brothers and sisters in. And He's done it. See, people don't know. See, David's posterity, it went down to the future because of what he did following God in his life. Generations were blessed. We know nothing about this stuff in the church today. We have all this running around trying to get money, trying to get this, trying to get that, trying to, you know, when the things that are really important in life, we know nothing about from the Bible. We don't know who we are. We don't know the pull we got. Let's be honest. It's the pull that we got with God. I mean, over time, I have been shocked over the years, things that God has spoken to me. It just has shocked me. I think, my God, you know, I'm just living a little part of this thing. You know, I got a little measure of this thing. He'll come around and say things. I think, dear God, we've been living so little. Playing around, talking this Christian stuff that isn't much at all. But see, this is what the blessing. God, you need to understand, it's one thing as I learned as a young Christian. I saw how God covenanted with people. Now, we talk about there's two covenants in the Bible, the Old Covenant, New Covenant. You know, the Bible's full of covenants. It's full of covenants God made with individuals. Because they walked with Him or did what He wanted, He'd make a special covenant with them, specifically. And you know what? He ain't quit doing that. He's done it to me. He will do it to you. People who walk and follow what He does, He will covenant with them on things and do things for them because they follow Him and walk with Him. When the Lord told me and said to me, because He said, you do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of your family. This is what I've done after that. Now, number one, you do what to do is raise your family upright and that stuff. But you know, I've always, with the things of it is, as a family, I always put it over on God to take care of the family. I told the Lord this, I said that day, I said, look, I'll serve you and go any place or do whatever you tell me to do, I will do it. But you're going to take care of my family. I said, you don't take care of my family, I don't serve you. See, He started this thing, not me. See, most people won't deal with God. You know, we play these little religious games with God. Well, you know, God can do what He wants. No, He can't. He can't give His word and break it. And God never broke that word. I'll never forget when Lisa went off to college and she started straying into things and stuff. And Wanda got really concerned about it. And I know she was worrying about it. Well, she was. She was worrying about it. And, you know, I got over in the thing and I just went to God one day and said, Lord, you remember what you told me? I said, you told me that if I did what you told me to do and I walked in the ways you said, you'd take care of my family. I said, now, Lord, if I've missed it and I'm off base, you show me. I'll get back in line, whatever it is. But I said, Lord, if I'm doing what's right, you better get this straightened out. See, I said, oh, please, Lord, do this. Please, Lord. No, He did. He made a covenant. He's either going to keep His bargain or I don't have to keep mine. So you understand this. If you have a contract with somebody and they break that contract, you don't have to keep your part of the contract. Once they do that. I've learned this with God. God ain't going to keep. See, this is why with healing. He said, by His stripes you're healed. God breaks that contract with me. I don't have to honor Him. See, we don't know nothing about, we know very little about this priesthood stuff. We don't know very much about covenant. We don't know much. You know, I don't know how I figured this stuff out, but somehow, you know, I just learned to know. It's me and God. It's one of the things I loved in Bible school. We had our one instructor. Was there. She used to do a lot of, she was involved in a lot of the prayer stuff with Brother Hagin and things. But she made this statement, and it had just rang a bell in me. She said, the Bible says we're workers together with Him. She said, most Christians, God is their daddy, and they have this daddy and kid relationship. That's what they got. They'll live and die. The average Christian does. Lives in Him. He's my daddy. I'm a kid. She said, we're supposed to have a business relationship with God. Workers together with Him. You see, that's what I have with God. I'm His son, but I'm working in His business. And I got say, if I ain't got no say, then I ain't working together with Him. That's why the scripture tells the Old Testament, it says, come let us plead together. Why would God say, come and let us plead together if He just runs a show? He don't. He's interested in what, in your opinion on the subject too. I've had the Lord come to me at times and has said to me, I have prayed about certain things with people, problems that were going on. And the Lord has specifically come to me and said, what would you like to have done about it? I'll never forget the first time He did it to me, I almost fell over. I was just a young Christian. It was concerning a guy who I had led to Christ. And it was a Wanda, they, when she grew up, this guy, they called him Grandpa Batts. He wasn't their actual grandpa, but he was, you know, an older man in the family, and they all just treated him like grandpa. He was just a good friend of the family. Well, he was old, and he was in a home, and she found out about it. He was in a home, and his wife had died, but I went in to see him, and the Lord said, when you go see him, you're going to lead him to Christ. You're going to do, that's what's going to happen. Well, I didn't, and it took place. And anyhow, he got saved. But anyhow, he went on a little short period of time. And he ended up, he was in the hospital. They took him, put him in the hospital. He had something wrong. I went to see him in the hospital. And I talked with him, and he said, I don't know if this is right or not. He said, but I would like to go home to be with the Lord. Because he said, I'm old. And he said, my family ain't going to take me in again. And he said, I don't want to. He said, I don't have anybody. He said, I'm in this nursing home. And he's old, you know. He's up in his 80s, late 80s, and he's old. And he said, I'd like to go. But he said, because, now understand, he's just born again. He don't know a whole lot about the Bible. He don't know what we can do. He said, I don't know if that's committing suicide or not. He said, I don't know. I said, Grandpa, I said, don't worry. I said, let me take care of it. I'm going to talk to the Lord about it. I said, you just relax. You don't bother yourself with it. See, I've known this when somebody's a spiritual baby. There's all kinds of things you can do for him. So I just got over to talk to the Lord about this individual. And I said to him, I said, Lord, I said, what about him? I said, you know, the situation he's in, I said, understand where he's coming from. I said, you know, I said, he doesn't have anybody. He's in the home and that, you know, I said, one thing, he's ready now to go to be with Jesus. He's going to come home to you. Well, when I said that, the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me real clear and said, what do you want me to do? And I was like, I'm just a young Christian. I'm like, what? You know, it's like, oh, hold it. Am I going to say something stupid to God? You know, you're saying, sort of, what do I want to do? Well, it came to me because I had read in the scriptures, let us plead together. And I just went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I said, this is what He told me and about the situation. And I said, I can understand how He feels. You know, that he just doesn't want to go to a bed and lay in a bed in some nursing home and just lay there. He can't go home to his family, that stuff. And so I said, I can understand where he's at. I said, he's saved now. I said, he knows he's ready to go. I said, Lord, I said, personally, I got to go along with him. I think it'd be better if he left. And the Lord said to me, and just as clear said to me, fine, I'll take care of that. In 3 days, he just fell asleep past. I thought, dear God. But see, God was interested. Why? I'm a priest of God. See, we've always got over the authority side of things. We don't know how God is trying to work with us. See, we have say in this earth as priests in dealing with people and helping people and do stuff. We've always used it, feed the poor. We're always doing something natural. But spiritually, we almost never become a walking priesthood. Never walk in that place. And see, this is about sanctification. This, if you don't understand sanctification, you won't understand your place. You won't understand why God wants you to live holy. He don't want you to live holy because He ain't got nothing else to do but try to figure out some regulations to put on you. That is not, it's so you can walk before Him and whatever you ask in His name, He can do it. And it's not just for you. See, we've used too much just for us, praying about our needs and our things. We're living in a world that's in huge trouble, and the church is trying to get its needs met. God said to me, if I would do what he would tell me to do, he would take care of my family. I can tell you folks this, I pray almost hardly at all about my family's needs. I know people tell me all this stuff, they pray for their families all the time and all this. I ain't had near the problems that they've had. Why? Because I've just walked by faith in what God's told me. And see, God's had me tell other, preach this stuff. Why? So people to pick it up. You see, I don't pray hardly ever about my needs. No, I don't ever pray about my needs. Don't hardly ever say thank God about my needs. If I want something, I just make a confession of it, and that's it. I don't sit around and pray about this stuff. Why? Because I'm already blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God told me if I did his will, he'd take care of my family. I'll never forget a minister said this one time. I was a young Christian. I heard this said, stuck with me, and I've always stayed with him. He said, it is the job of the master to take care of the servant. The servant's job is to do the will of the master. When I heard that, I decided to live that. See, my job is not to meet my needs and take care of my needs. That's God's job. See, most people live on a very low level of faith. Always trying to, they spend their faith life trying to get their needs met. Now, you might start there, but we are not being preached past that. We're not being preached past that. You see, it's God's job to take care of me. If he don't take care of me, I don't have time to take care of his stuff and my stuff. If I just got to take care of him, then he needs to let me alone. See, this is where Christianity is so messed up. People don't find time for anything because they're so busy trying to take care of themselves. They're so busy trying to take care of God's stuff. They're running back and forth here and this. And you know what? The whole thing is faithlessness. And we don't want to admit it. And we're having it preached to us. Like, I just heard a preacher here just the other week. Well, in fact, this past week, was the beginning of the week. You know, almost tore my radio out of my car with my GPS. Just, he said, you know, really, you know, saying stupid stuff. You know, we just can't pray enough. We can't. He didn't say we don't pray enough. We can't pray enough. Did God make a system that I cannot fulfill? Did he set rules and I can never meet them? Is that what he did? No, this is a preacher. And he says it like he's saying something spiritual. And I think, you know what happens? People become prayerless because they say, I can't make him happy anyhow. What's the point? Did God set a system? Well, I've heard people say, well, you can never just give enough. What are you talking about? I can never please God? I know about those ministers. They know nothing about sanctification. They don't know who they are. They know a lot about do's and don'ts. But they have no idea of who they are in the face of God. See, I want you to know who you are in the face of God. You aren't some old scoundrel. You aren't some old washed up sinner. You ain't the same person. You aren't a sinner. You're a saint. You're holy in the presence of God. God's ear is turned towards you. God is waiting. God wants us. God's not holding back information for you so you can only just live a get-by life. I'll tell you what. God has turned the church into a world changer, and we're just trying to use it to just change our life. When we can change the world. If we understand where our authority is as being a king is wonderful. But if we pick up our place as the priest of God, I'm going to tell you what, the priest is the one that always had the ear of God. And the priest could walk in behalf of the people. And I'll tell you, God would move on behalf of the people just because the priest asked. I'm going to tell you, there's things in this nation can be changed and turned around if the church would get out of its whining and crying and complaining about everything and take its voice to God for the nation. If the priest would step into their place and say, God, I'm here. You called me here. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace, where you'll receive mercy and to find grace. See, you as the priest, you walk into the throne of grace, you might have missed it. But he says, come, there's mercy here. He wants to get you heard. There's grace. There's grace here to help you. You want to change things and turn them around? I got ability. Grace is God's ability that works on your behalf. That's what you need. If anything we need in the church world is the ability of God. Most people will, the average Christian will live and die and never operate their life in the ability of God. They will live by their natural talents and never live by the power of God in their life. It's another thing I heard this week. Made me say, darn man, you need to serve God with your talents. God ain't interested in your talents. What you can do don't impress Him. But what you can do through Him impresses Him. You know, this thing that I learned, Kenneth Hagin said this, God has never called me to do anything, he said, that I had a natural inclination I'd have wanted to do. And I can say this truly, God has never called me to do anything I never had a natural inclination to want to do. I never wanted to pastor. I never wanted to get up in front of people and preach. I never wanted to do any of that. I didn't want to do anything. Never had a thought of it in my life that that's something I wanted to do. And you know what? I needed God's ability to do it. You know, this is one thing. I watch the things as people today. You know, God called me when I got born again, the night I got born again, I knew without a shadow of a doubt I was called to full-time ministry. I was called to full-time ministry. But you know what? I was never anointed with a gift till 3 years later. See, the average Christian will get a call from God and go, never have an anointing. They'll do whatever they do in their own ability. See, most people, I've watched people do this, you know, they'll go through certain things in their life and they'll have problems and God will help them through it. I want to minister now to other people what I went through. God didn't call you to do it. Stay out of it, stupid. If you ain't anointed to do it, you'll cause more problems. That's what half of the counselors today are ruining people because they ain't anointed to be counseling nobody to begin with. They want to help somebody. They just want to help people. It's nice to want to help people, but you stay out of the business till you get anointed to do it. If God hasn't put you in it, do you know, I never got the anointing. In 1983, July 9th, third week, On a Saturday afternoon, on the third week of July in 1983, the teaching anointing came on me. And that teaching anointing came me. God sent me out to Tulsa, Oklahoma, told me to go to Kenneth Hagin camp meeting. He said, you go out there, I'm going to give you an anointing. I said, okay. He's going to give me anointing. He did a number of things to prove to me what he wanted to do. Well, I went out there and sat there. I was in all the meetings. I was in every meeting. And Saturday afternoon, Kenneth Hagin was up front and he was ministering to ministers, laying hands on ministers. I wasn't a minister at the time. I'm just old Ed Gibson there, you know, sitting there, just lay person, you know, helping out in the church, doing what I know to do to be a Christian, just helping out. God said he was going to give me an anointing. And I'm sitting out there and Kenneth Hagin's up front and he's laying hands on ministers. Well, Kenneth Hagin got over and he would do this. So he'd get so far. I've had this happen already. He'd get so over in the spirit. After a while, you're talking in tongues. You can't talk in English. You know, I've done that already. I'm thinking in English and I'm talking, but I'm realizing it's tongues coming out of me. It's not English. In my mind, I know what I'm thinking, but it won't come out. I just talk in tongues. I've had this happen to me already. But anyhow, he's up there talking in tongues and he keeps saying something. I'm sitting there listening the whole time. I ain't paying much attention to what he's saying. I'm just thinking there, tonight is the last night of this last service. I'm in the second to last service. And I said this. I said, Lord, you sent me out here for an anointing. And you said I was going to get it from Kenneth Hagin. And I said, Lord, I'm just telling you. Now, see, this is how I talk to God. See, I'm not this little sweet guy. That's not it. Isn't it? I just said to him, I'm there talking to the Lord, sitting in a seat, maybe about 10 rows from the front area of where Kenneth Hagin's standing. And this is in a huge arena. And I said, Lord, I obeyed you and come out here, and you told me I come out here, I was going to get anointing. I said, if I leave this place and I don't get anointing, I said, I ain't going to obey you anymore. I said, I expect to get the anointing. I said, you're running out of time. See, I don't know how you guys talk to God. See, to me, if God tells me something, I expect it. If you tell me something, I expect it out of you, or keep your blab mouth shut. If I say something, you need to expect it out of me. Or I need to keep my blab mouth shut. I've learned this a long time. That's why people's faith don't work. And I said that, and I'll never forget. Kenneth Hagin still can't. He's only talking in tongues. Finally, Fred Price stands up and says, Brother Hagin is saying this. If you're here and you want this anointing he's ministering, you just receive it right now and you'll get it. And bang, it dropped on me. The teaching anointing dropped on me. You know what? I think God did that just for me. You know what? Because I was in faith with it. I was moving in that area. And I was after it. I wasn't going to let it alone. The violent take it by force. Too many times, you're too pity-patty. That's your problem. You're too pity-patty around God. You're just whiny. Oh, dear Lord, help me. Say, dear Lord, you're going to help me. That's what you're going to do. You'd be a liar if you didn't. Say, God, you know how many times I say to God, God, you know, you said such and such. You can't lie about that. You're going to have to do it. I don't say it to be mean. It's a fact. He gets so excited that I do that. He gets so excited that somebody would say they really believe His word. And it works. And that anointing came on me. And should I tell you what this? See, it didn't matter how to call the ministry. You know, it wasn't until I got that teaching anointing, turn around and change my life. You know, I worked hard. Now, I could sit down and study the Word, but I could not put teachings together right or sermons. I just couldn't do it. I'd study stuff and things, but you just... And you know what? I got the gift. I always felt sorry because there's so many ministers don't have the gift. All they got is natural talent to talk, and most people will just follow them anyhow. They don't notice people who don't have the anointing. I never struggled to get a sermon or get a teaching. My God, I got more of them I know what to do with. I got more stuff. I got tons of notes up here I didn't even use before this. But I said stuff just comes to me and comes to me. Because it's the gift. It ain't smart. It's the gift. It doesn't. When I got that gift, that thing started working on me. I felt so sorry because I was in a church with a pastor who never learned to yield a gift. And that man used to struggle all the time. He used to say on Saturday, he would go to his office, he said, I'd go down to the dungeon to get a sermon. I used to feel so sorry for him. Because he worked hard trying to get messages. I never try to get messages, they come. They come. I mean, I can try to not get a message and one will come. I'm serious. The gift works. I can be out doing something completely in the natural. I mean, completely in the natural. I'm not thinking of anything spiritual. And all of a sudden, just like that, up in me comes bang, 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 bang. Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying, God. Okay. And that'll happen. It's the gift. It's just the way that works. It's not because it's so spiritual or anything like that. I'll never forget one time years ago, and after I got the gift, I was sitting in a movie theater watching one of the Star Wars movies. And I'll never forget. I'm sitting there watching this thing. We're about 20 minutes in the movies, and a certain phrase was said. And when that phrase was said for about 20 minutes or so, I never heard a thing that went on in the movie. God started talking to me and gave me this whole big spiel about, I'm like, wow, that was really good. And I was, it just got right there in the movie. Now, it's not because I'm spiritual. It's just the gift. It's the gift. And I found out this is it. Do you want to get anointed? Do you want to get anointed? Do you want to get anointing with God? Number one, you're finding out things God wants you to do, but you want an anointing to do it. You want an anointing to do it. Shall I tell you how to do it? Start getting faithful and doing what God tells you to do. He'll anoint you. Paul said, God found me faithful and put me into the ministry. Paul was called to the ministry on the road to Damascus, but didn't enter the ministry till years later. God sent him to Arabia. It says, if you read and follow the thing of Scripture, Paul didn't start off right in the ministry. And he said, God found me faithful. See, that's over time. when the Lord showed me, see, you were faithful. You did what I told you to do. I'm going to just, and you know what? He anointed me. When I left Rhema Bible Training Center, I'll never forget, it was that, in 1989, that spring, we graduated in May. It was like in April. And I was going, walking out of class, head out of one building, heading down the auditorium. We were going to have a major get together, everybody in the auditorium. And I was walking down the auditorium. And the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me real clear. He said, because you've been faithful to do what I've told you to do in other ministries, and you've helped, you've done, helped other ministers do things, and you've done these. He said, when you get back, he said, you leave here, I'm going to put you in your own ministry. See, God anointed me to put me. I didn't place myself. I didn't go because I had a call. You don't go because you had a call. I don't care what God's called you to do. You need an anointing to do what he does. And we do that. You set yourself faithful. I don't care how little the thing seemed to be. You know what my little things of faithful was? I used to go to the church. I would go in the church that I was in. I used to go in and set up on Sunday mornings. They had a little hall they were at where they were meeting at. And I went in and I'd just go in and set the chairs up and do all that kind of stuff. Nobody ever told me to do it. I just always knew, you know, I was one of these people. You need to understand this. The Bible talks about people being put in the ministry. You need to understand about this. If you're waiting for God to tell you what you know to do, forget it. You know, Paul talked about people being made deacons. You know what a deacon is? It ain't at all what they use them for in the church. A deacon's a worker. The first deacons, you know what they did? They handed out food. That's what they did. See, there was the distribution of food that was for everybody. And the apostle says, you know, we can't be tied up with doing this. You know, we got to spend time with the Lord in prayer. And so they appointed guys. And you know who they appointed? One, they appointed Stephen, who was full of the Holy Ghost and power. Oh, I'm too full of the Holy Ghost. I can't be doing menial stuff like out there doing that kind of stuff. I'm going to tell you the truth. This is not bragging. I had a greater anointing on my life when I went to that church than the pastor or anybody in that congregation. I had more manifestations of power operated through me. But you know what? I wasn't the pastor, and I wasn't the guy to run the show. So what I did was this. They needed somebody to set up chairs, and the deacons didn't do squat. They should have never been made deacons, because Paul said you don't put somebody in a position unless they're doing that. If you're not helping, then you don't need to be in a position. God don't promote like you do in business. I don't care how much some guy knows. I don't care how smart he is. You don't get promoted in ministry on how smart you are, whether you went to school or whether you went to, it's on what you're doing. I'd rather take a guy that don't know nothing that'll help you than the guy who's so smart don't do squat. I've learned that a long time ago. I am not moved by your talent. And neither is God. That's who I learn it from. I don't care how smart you is. Paul was a very smart man, but God didn't put him in the ministry until he found him faithful. Then God anointed him to the ministry. You need to understand that yourself. You help. Hallelujah. You just help. That's all I did. I never spent other than to help. I used to go in every Sunday, and I'd go in and I'd set up chairs. Most every Sunday, I'd by myself. I was in setting the chairs up in the place and that stuff. I'd set the chairs up. I'd set the sound system up. And I said, nobody ever told me to do it. I never asked him. It needed to be done. I mean, the pastor needed to preach. And so I went in and set up and do it. I didn't wait for somebody else. If, you know, it's like me. I'm a big one. If I have to run around and ask people to do what they already see needs done, what on earth are we doing this for? Folks, it's good preaching. Let's see, I just go do it. I'd see something needs to be done, I just go do it. I'm still a person like that. I am not beneath work. Too many Christians and too many leaders are beneath work, and I ain't got the time of day for them. I ain't beneath work. This is one of the great problems today in the church world. This is why God don't move. Because people don't qualify for a move of God. See, these are really good things we need to understand. How anointings and how power of God comes on people to do things. And see, God, I was there going to that church and I'm down here. And see, people couldn't understand. God, here I am. I'm the guy setting the place up. I'm the guy doing it. I'm the guy shoveling the snow in the wintertime. I'm the guy, I come up on Sunday morning and I shovel the snow out. Pastor don't have to call or say anything to anybody. I was never appointed to any job. But you know what the pastor said to me one day? He said, I can just count on you for anything. See, I'd come in and clean the toilets. I didn't come in and say, somebody ought to clean them toilets in there. Somebody ought to do this or somebody ought to do that. I was the somebody that just went and did it. It needed to be cleaned and I went and cleaned them. Just doing. You know what? I wasn't doing press anybody anything. It just needed to be done. And I just, you know, you just go do them. This is, see, when I got saved, it changed my life. I wasn't a guy like that. But I started to learn how to live on the inside rather than living by my outside. See, we have today American, and it's the culture's in the church. It's about take care of me. That's what it is. It's take care of me. Look after me. See that everything's done for me so when I come, everything's okay. Everything's good. This is what we like. We want to have that. That's what we like. But somebody's got to do it. And look, folks, I ain't complaining. I'm just telling you how things work. So you know what? I'm minding my own business after a time of doing this. And one day, just out of the clear, I'm not doing anything spiritual, nothing. I forget, I was doing some working on something outside the house or something. And the Lord said to me, the pastor's going to call you and ask you to teach the adult Sunday school class. And I laughed. I said, what on earth? I'm a young Christian, you know. I mean, all these people are older people and all coming out of church. You know, they started this church and these are people. These are so wise. You know, they're so smart. They were so much more brilliant than the church they came out of. Well, I found when I got together with them, no wonder the minister treated them the way that he did in the other church. Because they were, you know, they didn't know nothing spiritually anyhow. But anyhow, you know, the Lord said, he's going to call you and ask you to teach. He said, I left and I just, why would he call me? I said, Lord, I came to a church because I need teaching. I said, I'm a young Christian. I need to be taught. Well, he said, he's going to call you and you take the teach. I'm like, dear God, these people are in trouble. Because I thought, you know, I need to learn. What am I going to tell these people? Because, see, I'm looking at them. These people, some of these people have been saved for 40 years. What am I going to tell them? We see, you don't know people. See, this is why we get in our thing, you don't know people. When I went there, I found out those people knew less than I did. And I thought, oh man, when I found that out, I thought, God, this place is in trouble. I'm a young Christian. I'm just learning a lot of these things. And they know less than me. And they've been saved for 40 years and filled with the Holy Ghost. And know nothing. They're just completely here. One of the big things I found out about them is this. And you need encounters with God. That's one thing is, I didn't just have the Word of God in me, I had experience with God. See, you should have encounters with God. Experience with Him. In my first 3 years of Christianity, I had experiences with God. But it was one thing is, I pressed into it. When everybody else was running and playing with all their friends and that stuff, I wasn't. When everybody else was just living their life and doing everything, you know, and I was told in the church, they told me, you spend too much time in prayer and in doing these things. You don't spend enough time with your family. That's what I was told by the pastor. I'm spending too much time with God. This is a pastor of a church. I'm the only guy he could really count on anything to get done. And he's telling me I'm blowing it. See, well, folks, this is one thing I want you to understand. Christianity has a lot of insanity in it. And he told me this. So what did I want? I thought, did I mess up? I went to God. I said, God, he's telling me I'm spending too much time with you and not enough time with your family. And this is what the Lord spoke to me. Just as clear spoke to me and said, you don't need to be spending any more time with your family. You don't know how to act when you're with them. And he was right. See, someone, spending time with your family is worthless if you don't know how to do it. It only does any good if you're any good. I was no good. God wanted me to change. I needed to be changed to spend time with my family. See, the Lord had told me concerning Wanda, my wife. He said, she don't trust you. Well, she couldn't trust me. I don't care. Quit trying to tell people to trust you when you have no performance of trust. When you've been untrustworthy and asking people to trust you. I get these stupid things all the time where people come to me who I don't even know, and they'll say something, and they'll say, well, what's the matter? Don't you trust me? I look them right in the face and say, well, no, I don't. I don't know who you are. Why would I trust you? We have no basis of trust. Trust is based on a relationship. Do you know callings and gift of God are based on that? This is why most people will never get into the ministry God called them into, because they never build a relationship of trust. They never become trustworthy. God found me faithful, put me into ministry. It's a relationship that is built over time where a person can say, I can trust you. Well, Wanda couldn't trust me. Because see, all she knew me before was Mr. Unsaved Ed, who wasn't Mr. Trustworthy at all. That was my performance. It took time for my performance to change where she could trust. Because somebody does something to you and asks forgiveness, you don't trust them just because they ask forgiveness. See, people think, if I ask you to forgive me, then you ought to trust me. Oh, no, you don't. You're going to have to. That's like, you know, I've told this to them. I've had women ready to come to me and things they're dealing with their husband, been running around cheating on him. And they say, well, you know, he's saying I ought to trust him. I said, don't you dare trust him. If he can keep for a year or so without going out and chasing somebody else, I said, then maybe you want to let him in your bed again. But other than that, tell him to go jump. He's untrustworthy. He must prove his faithfulness. Let him prove something. All these darn people that went around, yeah, well, I ask forgiveness, then you ought to just give me anything I want and just do it. That has become the biggest con job there is in the world. God don't fall for it. Don't ask Ed to. I'm like God. I change not. People do those things. People need to prove faithfulness. See, Wanda needed to know that Ed became a faithful guy. That he wasn't just self-centered thinking of himself, because that's what he always did. He always did what pleased him and would work for him. He'd make her think things were for her good, but it wasn't. It was for his. That's what it was. She had to come to the place where she found out. Well, see, it's vice versa. Women do it the same thing to guys. They're untrustworthy. And see, I proved it over time. You see, it's over time and it proved out. But see, in a relationship, that's the only way you can make those things work. You can believe God for money all you want, but if you got a relationship of people, don't trust each other. I don't care if you got money or not. Things ain't gonna work. Ain't gonna be happy. Money don't fix untrustworthiness. It don't fix it. All it does is cause divorce and the money gets divided. That's what it calls. And so you gotta learn those things. Say, prove yourself faithful. You don't ever put it over onto the other person because, well, they ain't faithful. I ain't got nothing to do with it. You are going to have to be faithful because I'm going to tell you, God is going to measure you against you, not you against them. So you become faithful. See, and I became faithful for Wanda. She came to the place then. If I said to her that God's leading me to do something, where she would come along and say, well, hon, if you feel God's leading you, you go ahead. See, that day came. It didn't come right away. You know, I'd come tell her what God was telling me, and she'd look at me like, okay, here he goes. All right, the spaceship has landed. I'll never forget the first time I told her, I said, you know, I just think we ought to give some money to something. I just think we ought to. She looked at me like, because she'd never heard me say anything like that. And that became like, she looked at me like, this guy's crazy. She said, and how are we going to do that? You know, because this was just trying to get the bills paid and stuff. And I said, let's give money away. Now today I can walk up and I can say to her, I can go to her and say, we need to give $10,000 away. She'd go, well, if God's leading you to do it, we'll do that. That's what she'd say. I mean, she wouldn't bat an eye. If she came and told me, God wanted us to give $20,000 away, we wouldn't bat an eye and say, okay, well, if God's leading, we'll do that. See, now most people wouldn't do that. Now, if you came to him and said, God wants me to give you $20,000, they'd say, oh, yes, probably is God. That's just... Ah, hallelujah. Well, I didn't get near what I was going to preach this morning, but the Holy Ghost was moving. I think we had a lot of good things we went over here today that we needed to talk about. Because I tell you, we're living in a changing world, and it's not changing for the good. But the church, there is glory to be revealed. And I want you to know who you are and what you are. Hallelujah. If anything out here, there needs to be a stability, and it has to be in the church of Jesus Christ of who you are and what you are. And you know that. That you know that God has the door open for you to come into His presence. It's open to you. Hallelujah. That you come in. You're a priest of God. You're not some old whatever people have made. We've made ourselves inferior in the face of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, I am just so thankful for your goodness and your mercy and kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And Lord God, I just thank you. And Father God, as these are your people. Lord God, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord God, have been set apart by you personally. Hallelujah. Jesus, you died for them. You were raised for their justification. It wasn't somebody else. Nobody else did it. You did it. They're yours. You paid for them. Hallelujah. And Lord God, you found them precious. You found them valuable. Hallelujah to you. That what you did, what you suffered, Lord God, just going to hell and taking the penalty of the sin of all humanity on yourself for us. It is an absolute phenomenal thing. Now that would, Lord, would have been a wonderful thing, but then you said that all we had to do was believe on you. That all we had to do was believe that you were Lord and God raised you from the dead, and we confess that we would be saved. Lord God, it's so ridiculously simple. It is so ridiculously, Lord God, it sounds crazy, but through that, the simplicity of this faith, Lord God, you have called men and women to yourself. You have taken them from spiritual death to spiritual life. And Lord God, that they can stand before you, Lord God, and stand before our Lord Jesus as equals. Joint heirs together. Equal heirs together. Who would ever think? Lord God, naturally, my mind can't wrap around the fact that I can stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the author of my salvation and the one who performed and did all the work, and consider myself as equal. But yet, scripturally, you lay it out for us. And Lord God, it doesn't matter if our minds can attain to it. What matters is if our heart will believe it. And Lord God, it is your word today, and they're your children. Hallelujah. And they're seated together today, Lord God, with you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord God, Lord, I want to thank you. Father, what a great thing that you put us in a position, Lord God. Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion in every name that's named. Not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And you've put all things under His feet. You gave Him to be head over all things of the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him. Oh, the church is the fullness of Him who filleth all in all. And I thank you, Lord God, they're the fullness of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, I thank you today, Father, that we're approaching your throne, Lord God, your place. We're not coming in cowering. We're not coming in, Lord God, in a place of where we feel inferior. It's the place that you called us to, that you called the priesthood to come to the throne of God. And we come to that place today, and we want to thank you, Lord God. It's the great mercy seat of God. Hallelujah. All that you call men to is to the place of the mercy seat, where there's mercy and there's grace. Hallelujah. And Lord God, Lord, our great desire is for the anointing of God in our life. We want to thank you, Lord God. We want to thank you as believers. We have an anointing, the Holy Spirit within us. But Lord God, we desire the anointing to fulfill your wills and your purposes in life. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, we don't want to walk by our abilities. We realize our own human weakness, Lord God, and our need for the power of God. And so we thank you You're not holding back, but Lord God, you're giving power to your people. And I thank you today, Lord God, for the anointing rising up in the believers today. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, men and women walking in the power of God. Hallelujah. Not like the power of men, doing what we can, Lord God, but doing your will. Hallelujah. Following your plans and purposes. Lord God, when we lay hands on the sick, they recover in the name of Jesus. When we command demons to leave, they leave in the name of Jesus. I want to thank you for anointing power on our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father. The good work, Lord God, especially the good work that you started in them, you are bringing it to completion in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, that this today is a day of going forward. It's a step ahead. It's going, Lord God, deeper and further in Jesus' name. It is not a day of drawing back. It's a day of pushing ahead. Lord God, you're raising a people up with great boldness in the name of Jesus. People who will be fearless in your presence, Lord God. Fearless, Lord God. The ones workers together with you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, not just some old servants just trying to do the master's will. Lord God, hand in hand together with the master. Hallelujah. Carrying out the plans and the purposes of God. Of God in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, you have a glorious people. You have a glorious church. You called it out. Hallelujah. And Lord God, it shall be as the Word has said. You're returning for a glorious church. Hallelujah. You're returning for one that hasn't got spot nor wrinkle. Hallelujah. And it is so in the name of Jesus, not because of our righteousness and our goodness, but because of your righteousness and our faith in it. Hallelujah. Lord God, you're working mightily in us in Jesus' name. Amen.